This is Jeff Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. We got a special guest here today, Jackson Deerberg, who's a conservation officer with the Department of Wildlife Resources for the state of Virginia. Jackson, welcome to the Fly Shop.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Today, we're going to talk about a couple of questions that come up here in the Fly Shop for us often, and Jackson's going to lead off with some other things that don't even come to our mind typically running a fly shop. But Jackson, one of the most common questions we get is on the designated stocked trout water here in Virginia, everybody needs a stocked trout fishing tag or a license. Is that right?
So when it comes to the stocked trout water here in Virginia, as long as you are fishing in a designated stocked trout stream or body of water that is during the designated stocked trout season, you would need your freshwater fishing license in addition to your trout license. There is also the possibility if you're going to be fishing in like the national forest, you might need the additional permit there. But all of these licenses can be purchased through the Go Outdoor system that you would normally purchase your hunting or fishing licenses.
All right. And once those folks are at a designated stock trout area, what does the water access look like there? Can they wade up and downstream anywhere they want to go? Do they have to stay within the signs, or what kind of things should folks be paying attention to with that?
Sure. So Virginia is pretty unique when it comes to our designated stock trout program, and you'll see our trout waters on both public and private lands. When it comes to public land and public waters that are running through like the national forest, as long as you're staying within the boundaries of the section that's indicated by the signage, you're going to be good there. When it comes to our private waters, like Big Stony Creek down the road from the shop here, there are sections of private water that is not stocked through the state. So again, kind of just like public water, you want to stay within the boundaries of the signage and be aware of different posted property signs for the private landowners in the area.
Okay. That clears that up, hopefully, for a lot of folks. One question we get sometimes is over in Fort Valley with Passage Creek, with the delayed harvest area, are they required to have a freshwater fishing license, a national forest stamp, and a trout license, a stock trout license for that area?
So when it comes to the delayed harvest section of Passage Creek, that is runs through state property. It's through the state hatchery land there. So during the designated stock trout season, you would need just your freshwater fishing license and your trout license. You don't need a national forest permit during in the delayed harvest section because it doesn't quite get to the national forest portion yet. But once you cross over the county line into Shenandoah County where the national forest boundary is, you'll see where the trout signs change from the red delayed harvest to the green put and take.
Okay, that's good to know the difference between the color of the signs. I've fished it lots of times all my life, and since it's been designated stock trout water or a delayed harvest, I've not paid attention to that. So yeah, there I learned something.
And when it comes to trout fishing in Virginia, when in doubt, look for the signs. There's a bunch of different signs that mean different regulations. The one that you would see the most is just the diamond with the green stripe through it. That's the general put and take water. And you'll see all of the rules that go along with fishing in that trout water on the sign. Just like the delayed harvest section, for a good portion of the trout season, you can't harvest trout up until just about like the last month of the season, where it converts over to a put and take. But all of those rules are indicated on the signage that you would see out fishing.
Okay. When we have folks come in the shop in the middle of July and they want to go fish Big Stony Creek, for example, can they access the stock trout water and fish for warm water species, or is that not allowed because it's outside of the season?
Sure. So when it comes to our program, there is a an understanding that it's basically open to fishing. There's no closed trout season in Virginia. Obviously, be aware of signage, property owners posting different rules that you might see out there. But in Virginia, we don't have a closed trout season.
Very good. When we are talking about Game Commission DWR access sites in the wildlife management areas, we've had a couple of people that we've encountered that are questioning why they need a fishing or a hunting license or a special use permit for those areas. Can you expand on that just a little bit, maybe clear that up for folks?
Absolutely. So when you visit a lot of our properties, you're going to probably see signage that indicates like a fee area or an access permit required to access the property. I'll use an example of like the Thompson Wildlife Management Area, which is along the Warren County border in Fauquier County. To access the property, you would need to have an access permit. Now, an access permit can take a lot of different things. It can be your hunting license. It can be your fishing license. It can be your boating registration, or you can buy a straight up access permit for that property to utilize it. There's a lot of changes going on right now for license fees. Before you go out, just make sure that you're purchasing the right license.
Very good. Very good. Where's the best place for folks to kind of sort through that?
So all of our licenses, all of our access permits can be purchased through the Go Outdoors system. You can download it on your phone through the Go Outdoors app. You can visit the website. You can call our headquarters. There's a bunch of different ways to purchase these permits.
I hope that clears that up. I know for us here in the shop, we get that question often, and we want to be able to give people a straight answer. And as far as your job day-to-day goes, what kind of things are you seeing out there that are a problem, or maybe people are doing without knowing what rule they're violating? Or
sure. So I would say one of the biggest violations that we see out there is licensing issues. And they might not realize that they needed a particular license to maybe fish for trout or go and hunt one of the different game species that we have in the area. So that's probably one of the bigger ones. A very serious crime that we see during the summertime, we're kind of coming down to the end of the summer season, but spear gunning has been kind of the big issue that we've been dealing with. And for those who don't know spear gunning, it's what you would typically see like out in the ocean, where people will go and like snorkel or scuba dive for like big tuna or swordfish, something like that. What we're seeing is people going out and utilizing that equipment, snorkel, mask, and are harvesting game fish and other species. And when it comes to spear gunning, it's unlawful to utilize that equipment in the inland waters that we have here in the area.
That's definitely a surprise to me. I had no idea that was even occurring. I guess when they're in the water swimming with a fish, the big bass kind of become a prime target.
Absolutely. Yeah, with the water being kind of as low as it is right now, they're all kind of stuck together in certain areas, in pools to try to stay in some deep water. To give you a story, an example of one of our spear gunning cases, last summer, myself and Officer Christian, who covers Clark County, we were conducting a plainclothes patrol on Lake Frederick, utilizing our canoe. And plainclothes is where we're not wearing the typical police uniform that you see me wearing today. It would be wearing regular street clothes like you're wearing, and we would just have our badge underneath our shirt. But myself and Officer Christian were out paddling along the lake. We had just addressed some other issues, and we saw this gentleman in a canoe that was hugging the bank pretty closely, and he beached his canoe right up against this fallen down tree that was in the lake. And I watched him put on a snorkel mask and then grab his spear gun, and he went in the water and was swimming around this fallen down tree for a minute or so, and then he popped up from the water, and on the end of the spear was a largemouth bass.
Oh, wow.
So myself and Officer Christian, we make our way over there. As we get closer, we flip the badges out from our shirts. We identify ourselves as conservation police officers. And I guess this guy's first instinct was to pick up the spear gun. So
That's bad.
we start telling him to put it down, and I jump out of the canoe and I go over and secure the spear gun, and doing a resource inspection of the cooler, find that he had over 10 bass in the cooler that he had speared. The biggest one was close to 4 pounds.
Wow.
So in total, he had over like 20 violations. We brought him back to the boat landing area where our sergeant was there waiting for us in uniform. We addressed it with issuing some summonses. Fast forward, it goes to court, and he was found guilty of the different violations that he had received. In total, he had a $5,000 fine, a $500 replacement cost for the fish. In
Wow.
Virginia, all of these different wild animals have like a price associated with it, all the way from a squirrel to a muskie.
Wow.
So the replacement fee for the fish that he had harvested unlawfully totaled up to about 500. And then he also lost his hunt or correction, his fishing privileges for 5 years.
Oh, wow. That's a
So
pretty hefty fine, which suits the crime.
absolutely. So that's just one of the many, many cases that we have, when it comes to spear gunning. Not a lot of people, I think, realize that it's unlawful. And we rely a lot of our cases on good outdoor men and women who are reporting these offenses to us. So if you all are ever out and you see activity like this, feel free to give the department a call. We have a 24-hour dispatch line. There's always someone there that will take your call, and the next available officer would be there to call you back.
Do you know that number off the top of your head by any chance?
So if you go to our website, you can contact our generic number is the 804-367-1000. That's just our headquarters line, and that would put us into you can be forwarded on to our dispatch center.
Okay. So in your line of work, I don't know how many people are chomping at the bit to get into that or not, but what does your day-to-day consist of if some youngster out there or some individual is looking for a career change might make your job appealing to them?
So my job changes with the season. It's being here in the Shenandoah Valley, there's always something going on. And right now we're coming into the fall season, so we're gonna have a lot of deer activity going on. I'm sure like spotlighting calls will start to pick up, people shooting from the roadway. So that fall kind of starts, and then we go into winter time. Winter time we'll have our trout. Also waterfowl will be a big focus. And then continuing to spring, we'll have our spring turkey season. Of course, trout, more activity there. And then going into summertime is heavy on fishing and boating enforcement out on our warm water facility or bodies of water. So Lake Frederick, the North Fork, the South Fork of the Shenandoah, and then the main stem. You'll see a lot of officer presence out there.
Okay. Do you have a 9-to-5 schedule, or what kind of schedule do you operate on?
Sure. So it changes again with the season. So come hunting season, if we're getting a lot of spotlighting complaints, shooting from roadway, we can alter our schedule. So we might be working 4 to midnight. So that's kind of the nice thing about this job, is it gives you the flexibility. And if you have a particular violation that you're looking into, you can alter your schedule to fit it accordingly.
Okay.
And then on the flip side, like spring turkey will come around. Not a lot of people are out there in the late afternoon into the evening. They're out early morning. So you might start your patrol at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then you're done by noon.
Okay.
So it's always kind of changing. Okay. With us.
What kind of area do you cover, you personally?
Sure. So I cover District 41, which is the upper portion of the Shenandoah Valley. And District 41 includes Frederick, Clark, Warren, Page, Shenandoah, and Rockingham County.
Okay.
We have multiple officers. They're all great, great officers that I work with, great supervision. And they're... With covering such a large area, we might be out doing a trout stocking on Passage Creek. And then we get a call that there's a hunting incident down towards Bridgewater in Rockingham County. So that's over an hour away. So a very large area to cover with not a lot of officers. So we definitely rely on tips and information that are sent in to the department.
Okay. When you're signing up to be a conservation officer, what does that process look like? And do you have a recruit school, or what do you all have?
Sure. So far as that goes? We do a hiring process just like any police department would be. There's exams, there's a physical, there's plenty of testing, a background investigation, polygraph test. Just like any other department that you would join. And then once you do get hired, you would attend our police academy that's taught in Richmond. Right now we have it at our headquarters building, and we'll operate there, and it may require traveling to go to different areas. Our academy is a little bit longer than the typical police academy would be if you were to go to like a county sheriff or a local town or city police department. And that's because we do a lot more training than what is expected of a normal general law enforcement officer. We have our boat school that takes up to a week or two, UTV, ATV training, officer water survival. So, because we get called on to do a lot more things, it requires a lot more training.
Right. So what kind of time frame is that till somebody, an officer, actually gets from application to field once they're accepted?
So the academy is about 6 months long. Okay. And the hiring process is typically a lot shorter than that too.
Okay.
So from start to finish, you hitting the field, little over a year, I would say.
Okay. So I assume somebody has to be 18. Is there an upper age limit?
So the bare minimum is to be 21 and a high school diploma.
Okay.
And when it comes to the upper ages, there is no upper age. Like as long as you're 21 and a high school diploma is what we're looking for. A little bit about my history. I grew up in Northern Virginia in the Manassas area. I came out here and recreated a lot. I attended Radford University down in Southwest Virginia. And when I wasn't fishing on the trout streams, I was in class, and I was learning. I studied criminal justice there. Nice thing about the criminal justice program at Radford is that they kind of allow you to do a lot of research in whatever field you're interested in. So I focused a lot of my studies and my papers on wildlife crimes.
Oh, okay.
The program has expanded a lot since I left, but they did have a wildlife crimes class there and rural crimes and law enforcement that had a wildlife aspect to it. So Dr. Green taught those courses. And since then, it has expanded towards even international wildlife crimes.
Oh, really?
So the students there are getting a very extensive education.
Okay.
The program, I guess, years before I even attended Radford, they had a little extra money in the budget. And I don't know if you've ever seen like those robot deer that we use for spotlighting and hunting enforcement. The program actually bought one of those robot deer. So during break times, or if we had free time between classes, we could go and use the robot deer, which was kind of nice. Coming into this job, I already knew what the capabilities of that robot deer was.
Okay.
And how to operate the control system, which is a lot like your RC car controller.
Okay.
It's very similar to that.
What's a life expectancy on one of those deer?
It just depends on how many times it gets shot. So
I'm sure that's a loaded question. One good shot, that's the end of it, I guess, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I'm you mentioned something earlier before we started the podcast about your all's funding, and I had no idea, but you say your funding doesn't come from the general budget for the state of Virginia. Is that right?
That is correct. So our funding for the agency, the Department of Wildlife Resources, and the Conservation Police as a whole comes from our license sales and boating registration. So when you purchase your fishing license, your hunting license, your trout stamp, or you register your motorboat, that money goes to support the Department of Wildlife Resources and ultimately the Conservation Police. So opposed to like the state police, that would be a general funded agency that would come from the state. If people are out there looking to support the Department of Wildlife Resources and the Conservation Police, we have what is called our W-3 program.
Okay.
It stands for Woods, Wildlife, and Water, and that donating through that program, which you can find the information on our regular Department of Wildlife Resource website, that funding goes and supports our different projects that we have.
Okay, that's good to know about.
Yep.
Is there anything else you'd like folks out there to know that might not be obvious to us inside a fly shop?
Yeah. So for those that are maybe more competitive with fly fishing, the Shenandoah River State Park, along with Downriver Canoe Company, is going to be having a fly fishing tournament coming up in September. It was rescheduled from May and is going in. It was rescheduled to September. If you're interested in that, you can contact the state park or Downriver Canoe Company. They're the ones that are going to be kind of taking lead on that. The Conservation Police, Department of Wildlife Resources will be out there just supporting it, making sure everyone's safe out there on the water.
Good.
But for those that are maybe looking to win a fly rod or maybe a stay at one of the state park cabins, the prizes seem pretty good. So
very good.
Go out and support it.
Yes, very good. Well, thank you very much, Jackson. We sure appreciate your time, and we'll get this podcast out there. You folks will be hearing this very soon. It's the end of August 2026 right now, so we'll have this out there in the next couple of days, and we hope you enjoy. If you have any questions, contact that number with the state, and they'll put you in contact with a conservation officer.
Thank you.